Today's scripture is Luke 3, chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the religion around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God." Bless the reading and hearing of this scripture.
Thank you. I think we all have our concepts of what is really the most important things in our lives. One for me is to walk my dog. I just love doing that, going out in the woods or down a dirt road. I also like walking through the cemetery with him, with Prince. When I was walking through a couple of years ago, I saw a tombstone that said, "I told you I was sick." People are buying headstones that look like motorcycles, showing that's what was really important in their lives. I've seen carvings on the headstones where 18-wheelers and all kinds of different things. This seems to be something new in the past 10 or 20 years. So even in death, people are trying to tell us what is important to them. One was taking time browsing through a yard sale, and many people love yard sales, get great deals. And she said to the homeowner, "My husband is going to be very angry when he finds out that I stopped at this yard sale." She said, "Oh, I'm sure your husband will understand all these great bargains that you're getting him." He said, "Well, normally he would be happy and excited and bringing these things home at a good price, but he's sitting in the living room with a broken leg waiting for me to take him to the emergency room." I believe we can guess this woman's priority. It wasn't her husband. Everyone in life has his or her own concept of what is important in life. And sometimes we get away from what is important and we lose ourselves. Our lesson for the second Sunday in Advent takes us to a man who believed that he had one mission in life, and that was to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. We know him very well as John the Baptist. And it's easy for us as followers of Jesus to take our eyes off the target, to forget what's really important in life. There's so many priorities, particularly during the Advent and the Christmas season. For example, our choir, our musicians, our handbell ringers are working on their special music, and it was just lovely, beautiful these past 2 weeks. Good music is always a priority, but especially at a holiday like Christmas that is so important to the church and to the world. I read recently that singing Christmas carols is good for your health, especially singing in a choir. According to this report, singing can reduce stress as well as boost hormones and feelings of trust and bonding. Singing in a group can improve self-esteem and increase feelings of social belonging, which can ward off loneliness. So joining a choir is always a good idea. But before I scare Mickey, I just want to warn you, if you're going to join a choir, you need to be able to sing. That is a requirement. Right, Mickey? Even if you're not apt to bell out Christmas tunes during door-to-door with carolers, or sing along with your kids or spouse to Christmas carols on radio stations while you run errands, you can sing yourselves anytime, even if you're like me and can't carry a tune at all. Sometimes it's just fun to do. And sometimes when I sing, and I know you do, driving down the road, you've got your iPod on or the radio coming through, and Christmas carols are being sung. And maybe you're singing all by yourself, or maybe your whole family is singing, and motions are being made, hopefully not by the driver, but and people look over you and say, "What in the world is going on in that car?" Well, don't worry about it. Ignore it. Enjoy the Christmas songs, whether they're the holy songs or some of the fun Christmas carols, even about Santa. Preparing music and other elements of our worship services are very, very important. And so are all the other activities of the church. As long as we remember our overall goal, and that is to prepare ourselves and to prepare others for the coming of Christ. He's come once into the world, and we need to prepare ourselves for his coming into the world again. Jeremy Meyer says that in ancient times, when a king was coming to a city, he would send before him someone that would herald his coming. And this man would go all through the city and say, "We got to lock up the vagrants and any criminals. We've got to clean up the streets. We've got to pick up the trash. We've got to have everything ready for the king to come." Now, if the king came and the city was in just disarray, the city people would be upset, but the king would also be upset. It would be an embarrassment to the city and an insult to the king. In the same way, John the Baptist, he came to announce the coming of a king. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." And what a wondrous way, I think, to depict the preparation of the world for the coming of Christ. Straightening the curves, filling in the valleys, cutting away the high mountains that the roads might be level and easy to travel. Elder Wilson says, "I think of Isaiah's words of John's mission of preparation and of God's working in my life to make me a fit disciple of Jesus Christ." God is seeking to prepare you and me. And it has to be a daily thing because any of us can fall. But we need to cut through the mountains of our pride, which can be hard to do, to fill in the valleys of our despair, to straighten our crooked moral rationalizations and make us fit for the King himself to travel. This is why each year on the second Sunday of Advent, we revisit John's message. Luke says to us, quoting the words of Isaiah, "This was the message of John, the voice in the desert. Salvation has come to all people." How were the people to prepare themselves for the coming Christ according to John the Baptist? They went to repent of their sins. We read concerning John, he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a difficult word to talk about or think about at Christmas time. After all, Christmas is kind of a warm, fuzzy, happy feeling for us. And the last thing we want to think about at Christmas is repentance. Even in more Christmas time, it's hard to combine a vision of a prophet in the wilderness dressed in animal skins, eating locusts and wild honey, and calling people to repentance. Our modern day society doesn't even really like to acknowledge the concept of sin. And we keep seeing it on television. I think I said this before, but the saying, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." And we're not even sure what sin is anymore at times. It's a word that's lost its sting, the punchline of a tired joke. Meanwhile, domestic violence takes the lives of thousands of women each year, and men too. And more than half the nation's children live in single-parent homes. Addictions continue to soar. Young people wander around without a moral compass, and mass media spews out violence and obscenity on a daily basis. Could it be that we're in greater need of baptism, of repentance, than we might want to think or imagine? Actually, we're not that much different than the people in Jesus' time. Jews of John the Baptist's time felt no need for a baptism of repentance. Jews believed that only Gentile converts to Judaism needed to be baptized. This was to wash away all their defilement from past lives. Jews considered themselves children of Abraham and didn't have that same need. Why would the Jewish people ever need to be washed clean from their past? They had no concept that they needed to prepare their lives for a new reality, the coming of the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, who established a new reign of love and of light. I love the way that Frederick Bruner, theologian, described John's ministry. He said, John the Baptist, he didn't fool around. He lived in a wilderness around the Dead Sea. He subsisted on a starvation diet, and so did the disciples that followed him. He wore clothes that even rummage sale people wouldn't put, and they would put into the trash bin. When he preached, it was always fire and brimstone every single time. The kingdom was coming all right, but if you thought it was going to be a nice pink tea, you'd better think again. If you didn't shape up, God would give you the axe like an elm that has blight, disease, or toss you into the incinerator like chaff that needed to be burned. Your only hope, he said, was to clean up your life as if your life depended on it, which it did, and get baptized in a hurry as a sign that it had. Some people thought he was Elijah come back from the grave. Some others thought he was the Messiah. But John would have neither. He said, kind of paraphrasing in a different way, I'm the one yelling myself blue in the face in the wilderness. I'm the one trying to knock some sense into your heads. Maybe we need a little head knocking as we get closer to Christmas. I know I could use some. We're preparing our homes for Christmas, but are we truly preparing our hearts? We're hanging up lights, but we're ignoring the darkness in our own lives. The darkness of strained relationships, the darkness of moral weakness, the darkness of anger, hopelessness, and fear. Back in 2004, about this time of year, Time magazine carried an article about Alice Harris of South Central Los Angeles, a not very good place to be. And she was told how the good people of Extreme Makeover volunteered to come and fix up her house. So they sent her away on a vacation. 100 people came, the workers and people in the community, and they just didn't remodel her house. They razed it. They tore it to the ground and completely rebuilt her house. And she was the neighborhood person who was collecting gifts for children. The house had been flooded. So her house was lost, basically lost. Her, all the toys, clothes, everything was gone. What was she going to do? But Extreme Makeover Home Edition, when they shipped her off and when they brought her back, they had her a new home, a bigger home. They even built a basketball court in the neighborhood for the children. And they raised toys that had been washed away so the children could have Christmas. You know, what a wonderful Christmas Alice had and her family and neighbors had, thanks to Extreme Makeover Home Edition. And John the Baptist, he wanted the people to understand the coming of Messiah would mean an extreme makeover, world edition, that we all needed to make over our lives and on a continual basis. And that day is still to come, a day when the poor will no longer be oppressed, the kingdom of God when Christ comes. A day when the hungry will be fed. A day when the world will no longer take up arms for war or to shoot one another. A day when children will no longer live in fear. And you and I are called to participate in that makeover. And I have to ask us, myself and you, are we willing to do our part? Are we willing to make this a great Advent and Christmas for ourselves and for others? If so, then the prophet says it's time to repent. It's time to clean up our lives totally and a new makeover. The King is coming. Amen, and may God bless you.